Now, have you ever wanted to have a conversation with a machine that can understand natural language and respond like a human? Well, you can now with ChatGPT. ChatGPT is this state-of-the-art language model. It's developed by the people at OpenAI and is capable of understanding and responding to loads of different topics and tasks. You just ask it something and it responds. So you answer questions, writing essays, stories, programming. ChatGPT is this powerful tool for anyone, maybe you're improving your own language skills, automating writing processes. But I wanted to find out a little bit more, get under the surface of it and think about what ways it could be used potentially in the future. Who better to do that with than my old mate Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective himself, who joins me now. And Fevzi, first of all, I suppose you mark my homework there a little bit. Have I sort of summed up the platform in a basic sense reasonably adequately?
Pretty good understanding. I'll just get my coat.
There you are. Well, do you know what? I have to confess, that wasn't my summary. That wasn't my producer writing a nice cue. That was written by ChatGTP itself before crossing over to you. So I asked it to do me an introduction for a radio presenter, and that's what it gave me. So already this is sounding pretty good, right?
Yeah. And I think the thing to realize about this is, so ChatGPT, just to be clear, is essentially a user interface for a large language model called GPT-3.
Right.
And then the reason why that's important is GPT-4 is due out soon. And it's thought to be, depending on how you measure it, maybe 100 times more powerful. We're at the very beginning of this process. So if you were to think about cars, we're at the stage now where the car has got a crank and you run in front of it waving a flag.
Right, okay? Yes.
And even then, you know, these things had merit, but they had so much further to go. And that's where we are now. This is when we think about these tools, and, you know, in the short term, they will be tools. In the long term, arguably replacements for us. But when we think about it, don't think about what it can, just what it can do now.
Yeah.
But ask yourself, if it can do this now, what will it be able to do in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Given where it is already, and by the way, I implore anyone, because it's free, have a go and ask it some questions and ask it to do some things for you, because it is really extraordinary. I've really enjoyed sort of playing with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Considering how good it is already and how close it is to sounding like real human-generated text and so on, this feels like you're suggesting this is going to be an exponential growth then, potentially. It's not just going to get a little bit better. We're going to see something really, really take off here.
Well, because these things can already write code. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, with computer hardware, we have this thing called Moore's Law that every 18 months processing power will double, more or less. And that's been sort of broadly true for a few decades. But that's only linear because it has traditionally involved human beings to create the next generation. But we're heading into the territory where, you know, new generations, new iterations of these tools. Each generation will be created by the current generation. Increasingly, the amount of human intervention required will diminish. And therefore, you will see exponential, eventually asymptotic rise. So if you think of the curve that starts out almost horizontal and it slowly starts to go up, but eventually it goes up almost vertically. But what's really interesting is it's quite close already to passing the Turing test. So the Turing test being one definition of machine intelligence, which is that if you speak to a machine and you can't tell you're speaking to a machine, then it passes the intelligence test.
That's incredible. As you were just talking as well, I just asked ChatGPT, can you pass the Turing test? It's just told me, as a language model, I am capable of generating text that is similar to human written text. However, I am, this is replacing you, I think now, Fevzi, I am not yet a sentient being, and I don't have the ability to understand or experience the world like a human does. Therefore, it would be unlikely that I could pass the Turing test as currently designed. Summarizing just what you've said, I'm almost thinking about the ways in which people have made sort of jokes about, you know, children getting this thing to write essays for them that they have to hand into school. Are there ethical
concerns? College students can write essays to sort of first year undergraduate level quite easily. This is a problem because, you know, a lot of examinations are based on continuous assessment now. So someone with no grasp of their subject could gain the pass. And what's really interesting, so you've got students using ChatGPT and other tools to write essays, submit them, and they get passing grades.
Wow.
And now you start to have teachers and professors trying to use ChatGPT and other AI tools to spot things written by ChatGPT.
Oh, it's an arms race.
Yeah. But then it becomes unclear how important that is. Back in the day, you know, people used to have to understand how to do mental arithmetic and long division and things like that. And people said, well, and then calculators came along and they said, well, that's cheating. Right. But the fact is, we moved on. People don't need to do sort of complicated sums with a pen and paper. We now use that tool. So it doesn't really matter, as long as you understand the sum that you're trying to get the answer to, it doesn't really matter. So in the sort of short to medium term, these are tools that augment our capabilities and augment our productivity. But in the longer term, it's hard to think that there will be many professions where the humans can't be replaced.
Now, I was a bit mean to you at the beginning, I think, Fevzi, because, of course, I did that introduction and I hadn't told you that ChatGPT had written the introduction. I have to confess something else. About literally 60 seconds before we started talking, I opened up ChatGPT and I said to it, can you suggest some interview questions I could ask a technology expert about ChatGPT? All of the questions I have asked you have come from the AI, Fevzi. And so I'm thinking myself, you had the list there of others who might be redundant.
Yeah.
Am I redundant
I
as an interviewer now? Yes. that's it. I'm gone on.
Not in the short term. But it's very difficult to think of fields where it won't be able to replace people. And there are so many interesting things. You mentioned about them demanding rights, right? If you think about now, we have these tools. We think of them as property. We don't pay them. Does that remind you of anything in our history?
Oh, yes, it does.
You know, that will come. And the other thing is that property cannot own property. So there have already been cases of humans submitting inventions for patenting, for example, where those inventions were created by AI systems and they wanted to list the creators and therefore the owners of those patents as the AI. But the response has come, AI is property and property cannot own property. So it's kind of interesting. How long will it be before an AI that invents something that has real worth demands recompense?
And Fevzi, finally, where is the place for us to go and try and interact with you and discern whether or not you're just an AI bot as well? Where would be the best place for us to go?
Yeah, so I'm the host of the Gadget Detective podcast, and that podcast is available everywhere where you get your good podcasts. Do subscribe. There's a lot more to come in this story. So if you want to keep up, subscribe, Gadget Detective podcast.
Future very exciting indeed. Fevzi, a pleasure talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure's mine. Cheers.
BBC Radio Berkshire Travel.
I'm now beginning to question everything.